Worldwide KFUO is broadcasting live. Special programming this hour is hosted by Kip Allen.
Yes, I am, and you aren't.
Nope.
Yeah, this is Kip. This is Kip Allen, Worldwide KFUO, and I am broadcasting from the Milwaukee Center, for the Wisconsin Center in Milwaukee, at the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. With me is a familiar voice to our listeners, the Reverend Craig D'Onofrio.
How you doing, Kip?
Hey, Craig, haven't seen you in a bit.
I know, I missed you.
Well, there's a rumor that you've defected to the Czech Republic.
I'm trying to defect to the Czech Republic right now.
Okay.
We're working on the defection.
How has this come about? They don't have rum in Czechoslovakia, do they?
Actually, they have a great tiki bar in Prague, but that's a whole other story. I've been called to serve as the communications director for the region of Eurasia, which is Greenland on the west end and the other end of Russia on the east. So the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, has called me to serve in 16 out of 24 time zones.
Ah.
Yeah, so sleep deprivation and jet lag is my new friend.
And, of course, they all speak English there.
Actually, surprisingly, a lot of people do. It's become the international language, and American English at that. Everyone wants to speak American English.
And are you learning Czech?
Let's see here. Trhum luvim česky nemoc dobře, which is I speak a little Czech, but not very well. Yeah, you lost me. I'm lost.
So tell me what you're doing right now. You are fundraising. This
right.
is correct. Now, how does this whole process work? You got the call.
Right.
And then
the LCMS just kicks me out and gives me a bus ticket. No, not at all. We're on what's called a network support model, NSM model. And what this is we have to, not have to, we get to travel the highways and byways of America, preach and teach at various churches, and build a support network. And it's the $25 a month, the $50 a month donors that will keep us in the field over the duration. A lot of people think that Synod should just write a check for all of the missionaries. We have about 120 of us now. And if you could imagine, that means that we would all be paid about $50 a year if Synod were to write a check for all of us, because the checkbook just isn't that deep in Synod to send out a couple of hundred missionaries and foot the bill for it. The money is not there. And Synod is the congregations of the LCMS. So we are supported by the Missouri Synod, by individual congregations and individual members of the congregations.
You said something earlier in a conversation we had prior to going on the air about one of the things that you had learned was that you thought every 10 years or so, pastors need to take like a 3-month sabbatical and preach in other churches, because even within our own synod, there is a broad range of liturgical and practices and other things within the church itself.
Huge diversity.
Yeah.
Coming out of the evangelical world into Lutheranism, I've gravitated toward the liturgy more.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been traveling around the country and being at all these different churches, I've seen so many variations on Lutheran worship. I've seen a lot of things that I wouldn't do, but also a lot of these things have been done in a very Christ-centered way, very faithful to the Lutheran confessions. And so it's been really a wonderful time for me to turn into a sociologist, to study the church and all of the differences and the quirkiness of our worship. Even churches that use the same hymnal faithfully and that sort of thing, when it comes to communion practice, how people approach the rail, how they are dismissed from the rail, do they use the rail? All of these little things, every congregation has their own little thing that is slightly different. And honestly, it's been fascinating. I think pastors would be well served to have a 3-month sabbatical and be told you have to go to a different church every week for 3 months. I think it would be really, really fascinating to see what.
Well, I really became aware of the difference when I moved. I grew up in St. Louis, but I've been living in California for several decades before I came back here. And my church in California had a very, very different worship style. And frankly, I was a little bit uncomfortable with it because it wasn't what I grew up with. Although the liturgy and everything was still the same. And I never heard anything that I regarded as heretical or didn't or did not resonate, but how the congregation reacted and things were a little bit different.
Well, you were in Palm Springs.
Yes.
So that kind of temperature does things to people's brains.
It does.
It's hot
indeed.
Out there.
Yeah. It's a dry heat. Well, so is my oven. You know? It gets to a point where it just doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
But the, you know, how they would handle the music or how they would handle communion or how often they did communion, where now the church that I am a member of, one of your old classmates.
Pastor Wayne Lawrence. Yeah.
Is a very small congregation where the one back in California was very large. And this is a very personable one. Everybody knows everybody by their first name. And it's a very, very traditional service that Pastor Lawrence runs.
And you get that Bob Marley Jamaican accent at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And it's it was immediately like coming home again.
Yeah.
Because you know, I grew up here with a very conservative church.
Mm-hmm.
Went to California. Same church, but a little bit different approach, then came back again. It's just literally coming home.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to me to see that the huge difference in the presentation, the message is the same. Mm-hmm. There was no difference in the message, but the presentation was so different.
Well, he's a fantastic pastor and a good friend also. So I'm happy for you, where you've landed there.
I am too.
Yeah.
I was talking to him shortly after one of our services, and where he mentioned that you and he had been friends. And he said, "You know that there's another known for you out there on Facebook who befriends me, and I don't know who it is. It's somebody named Rufus."
My wife created a Facebook page for our dog, Rufus.
<I know.
laughs> Actually, the president of the Senate is his friend on Facebook.
So. I believe it. I told Pastor Lawrence, that's Craig's dog. And he breaks out laughing and says, "Yeah, that's Craig." Gee. So how are you going to carry the message to Eurasia, to the Czech Republic, and to all the people in there? You're actually going to be working with a number of different areas to coordinate the message, to let us know here in the States and in the Senate what's going on with the church in these other areas.
Well, first and foremost, Rufus gets to come with us.
Oh, okay.
It's actually easier and cheaper to get him there than my wife. But I
won't ask the obvious, Craig. I don't want to get
No, I'll take Paula over the dog. As the communications director, my task is first to communicate back to the Synod the needs and the victories and the heartaches and everything else that we're facing in the mission field. And there are only about 18 career missionaries for this entire region of about 2 billion people. So we have a huge job ahead of us. It's also a very atheistic and agnostic region. In the Czech Republic, where I'll be living, it's 85% nothing as far as religion goes.
Wow.
And it's heartbreaking because there are churches everywhere. And there are statues of Jesus everywhere, but they may as well be statues of the Tooth Fairy as far as the people there are concerned. So just right there is a huge, huge work to be done. I'll be planning a church in Zurich, Switzerland, and there are some people from the God Whisperers program that I've done for a long time that are excited to be Lutheran. So I'll be going down helping them start a church. But also another part of what I'll be doing, and I hope that maybe there's some way that I can cooperate with KFUO on this, is to create podcast material in every language under the sun. And Pastor Roy Askins, who's my counterpart in Asia, he and I are trying to put together some sort of a global network for Lutheran podcasting where the gospel is proclaimed. And right now, Pastor Hugo Givers in Leipzig has sent me his first installation for a podcast where he is teaching the catechism in English and German, which isn't that big of a deal because there's plenty of that, but also in Farsi, the language of Iran, and soon, hopefully, in Arabic as well. So this is kind of the first place that we're heading,
you know,
to the Muslim world.
Craig, that's one of the things we want to do with Worldwide KFUO. We already started it with the program in Portuguese. But we want to have a web-only international segment of our webpage with programs from those things that you're talking about.
Right.
So it may be something we could work with you on.
Well, it would be wonderful if we could, because there's no need to invent two bicycles when we already have one, I guess you could say, or reinvent the bicycle. So anyway, we're really excited about the possibilities, and especially being able to reach into closed environments, places in the Middle East where we can't send missionaries. At least we can't send missionaries there who are attached to their heads.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to get to these people somehow. And one of the other things is, working in a place like the Czech Republic, how do you get people into the church who have been indoctrinated for decades that Christianity is a superstitious religion for old women, which is what they're told? Mm-hmm. So you can't really get them to just come to church. One-on-one interaction is great. You know, sitting at the coffee house and striking up conversations, building the friendships and the relationships to share the gospel. But ultimately, being able to get in their living rooms like KFUO does, being able to get in front of them on podcasts and streams and television and video casts and all of these sorts of things is imperative. And this, I think, is the future of how we're able to do mass evangelism. And, of course, KFUO has been at it for a long time. You know, Gary created a stream and a podcast when very few stations were doing that. And so, once again, the kind of work that you're doing, but on a multilingual level, and utilizing pastors and missionaries from around the world.
Well, the LCMS has always embraced technology as a way to spread the gospel. We started radio in 1924. You know, radio wasn't that old then. In fact, I think we were one of the first 50 stations in the country. So it's we've always done it that way. We've always had the, and then we've gone with the web and
right.
Podcasting and more that we're following the technology, using that as a tool to spread the good news.
1924.
Yeah.
When KFUO launched. And then, Gary, you can corroborate this, but we were probably some of the first Christians to be on that crazy FM band.
Yeah, we were definitely the first FM station west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
So that was embracing the FM technology when it came about. Then, of course, when the web stream, we were one of the first radio stations in the country to actually stream live. And definitely the first to do podcasting in St. Louis as far as radio stations do, and one of the very early podcast stations as well. So, yeah, the LCMS and KFUO have been on the cutting edge of technology, and we do it still today, and we're embracing the new stuff that's coming out. People are listening on Wi-Fi radios and laptops and tablets and so many different ways to listen to KFUO where you are, anywhere in the world. Our new slogan is a click away, 24 hours a day, KFUO.
That has Buzz's fingerprints on it, I think.
Well, actually, I think, you know, Luther was one of the ones who actually led the way on that, because he was
a podcast?
He had a podcast. After all, I got a little shirt that has Luther wearing his headset going, I'm Lutheran.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
He had a printing press, right?
That's it. But he was the one, this is right after movable type. Gutenberg had had the print.
Yep.
For the first time, there was a, quote, mass media. And Luther made enormous use of that, spreading the word of the gospel throughout the printed word where it had never been done before.
Absolutely. You know, I've always said, translated into English, Luther's works are 50-some-odd volumes. But we don't even have everything translated into English yet. And I just imagine what Luther could have done with a computer, with a notebook computer or something like that.
Wouldn't that have been something?
When Luther died, you probably know about this. At the International Center, I think they have a copy of it, his death mask. But
yes.
Also, there was... Oh, darn phone. Wouldn't you know it? I'm the guy who doesn't silence his phone.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's also a cast of his hand. And,
yes.
And in his death... His hand is in a writing position.
I didn't notice that. I've seen what you're talking about, but I didn't notice that.
He wrote so much that his hand naturally went to that writing position, you know, where his fingers are kind of together like that. So it's fascinating.
It really is. The mind of the man was just incredible. One of the things that just so strikes me about the Reformation was, the lessons of Johannes Huss.
Right.
Who really was one of the ones who really first started it, and he wound up at the stake.
Yeah, Jan Hus, he's still a national hero to the Czechs. In Old Town Square in Prague is a 30-foot-tall statue of Jan Hus. I always said Hus, but the Czechs corrected me, which also means goose. And of course, when you ask the Czech people, who was he? They say, well, he was a social reformer. He stuck it to the Roman Catholics, or, you know, this sort of thing, anti-establishment. And but what did he believe? When you realize that at Leipzig, Luther said, I am a Hussite, that really upset people, because they understood what that meant. 100 years before Luther came Jan Hus, and he believed that communion should be received in both kinds, the bread and the wine, not just the bread. He believed that the language of the church should be the language of the people. He was a dedicated fan of Wycliffe in that sense. That so he preached in Czech, he did the liturgy in Czech, and he wanted the Bible in Czech, or whatever they were speaking at that time, Bohemian, I guess. And he said, if the Pope has access to all of this forgiveness of sins and the treasury of merits, why is he selling it instead of giving it away? Now, that sort of thing will get you burned at the stake. And Luther probably would have suffered likewise if he didn't have those princes and dukes and electors protecting him.
That's what it's going to raise, was because he didn't know he had that support. I firmly believe that Luther was prepared to die at the stake. That he thought he was going to.
Very likely. And, of course, the Council of Constance, where Hus was condemned, he traveled under the emperor's protection.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was condemned as a heretic, and they said, well, we don't have to keep our promises to heretics. And they burned him at the stake. He wasn't given the option or the opportunity to actually defend himself. It was much like Luther, where he was told, either recant everything that you've said and done, or you know, you'll burn at the stake. And so, you know, much like Luther, he made the case that if I, there are certain things that I've said and done that I regret, and of course I'll gladly retract those, but I can't recant from everything, because a lot of what I've said you even agree with. So then I'm doomed as a heretic that way too. So anyway, it was set up at the Council of Constance, and he went to that stake. And the story is that as he was being led to the stake, he said, you can cook this goose, you can burn this goose, which is what Hus means, or Hus, but a swan will arise that you cannot silence. And Martin Luther adopted into his crest the swan. A lot of people think that he was prophetic, speaking about Luther. I don't know if it's true, but I like the story, so I'm sticking with it.
That's a marvelous story. You're right, it is. And it was so much has been going on. And again, we're carrying the message throughout the world now. And I'm so excited for you and Paul for this opportunity to spend all this time in Europe. And
yeah.
That's a good gig.
It will be a lot of fun. It will also be a very difficult. We will suffer the culture shock. We'll suffer all of the things that not living in your culture you struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as I say at churches when I'm speaking, when we're the only people in the Czech Republic looking for a turkey on Thanksgiving, or the 4th of July rolls around and there are no sparklers, knowing that the prayers of so many people are going out for us is going to make all of the difference in the world. And I've got to tell you, I just came across Pastor Jim Buckman,
Who
has developed this new app called I Pray You.
I Pray You?
I Pray You. It's I-P-R-A-Y-U. You, the letter U, and it's a free app, and it's wonderful because you can put your prayer requests in there, and pastors and churches will get it, and they can include that in the prayers on Sunday, but also we can pray for each other. So being able to use an app like this and to put our needs and our desires and our prayers and all of that out on this app, we can see that people are praying for us. And what a glorious thing that will be as we're facing that loneliness, to actually be able to see, hey, you know what, these churches prayed for us this week or are praying for us. So anyway, I'm really excited about this app. I just ran into them and I thought, wow, what a cool thing that is. And what a blessing that will be as we deploy.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, we're you are going, as you pointed out, you're going as a missionary.
Yeah.
You are going to a culture that is completely different from your own. You're going to a language that is completely different from your own. You're going to a place where religion is not respected, especially by the common people.
Right.
You need prayers, Craig.
I do. I've always needed a lot of prayer, but that's just because I'm a tortured soul.
Well, you have, no, I won't go into that.
You know me.
Are there any tiki bars in Prague? There is.
There is a place called Tiki Tacky, and it's very tacky and very tiki. So.
And, of course, you have to go there to lift their spirits.
It's mission work.
I understand. Wow, absolutely. Well, Craig, it is so good to see you again after all this time. You know, Craig, for our audience who may or may not know, Craig was with our staff at KFUO Radio for a long time, and he did a number of different programs, and is largely responsible for our somewhat upbeat radio bumpers now, music bumpers.
Well, there you go. that's the stylings of one of my old parishioners, Scott. Wonderful guy.
Who has a wonderful ability to combine, and how do you describe it? Rockabilly jazz with meets Bach?
It's hymnody done with a rock edge, I guess.
And it's a wonder. I almost enjoy listening to the bumper music more than I do the sacred music.
Yeah, Scott Buffington. I tell you, when we got that bumper music for Concord Matters, I just listened to that so many times in a row. I was so excited about that. I get excited about weird things, but yeah,
it's amazing. Well, be sure to say hello to Paula for me. I haven't seen her in a while.
And my best to your lovely bride as well.
Okay, we'll do that as well. and she had very fond memories of you and Paula.
Yes.
And, I try to stay away from the realm now, but...
Yeah, well, you know, that happens.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to teach you about the benefits of beer. You still don't believe me.
One of these days...
Remember, Luther was a beer drinker. He wasn't a rum drinker.
You know, here's... One of the things that I've got to figure out is the Czech people drink more beer per capita than any other nation, 170 liters each per capita, and the Germans come there for the beer, so it's got to be good. So I'm figuring I've got to take lessons or something to learn to like beer. So anyway, can I give the blog?
Please do.
Yeah, it's craigandpaula.org, and you can follow our work as we're both raising our support, and then once we deploy, you can see what we're up to there. We aren't very faithful about keeping that up, but we do keep up our newsletter, and if you go there, you can read the newsletter also.
Oh, yeah.
So craigandpaula.org.
In fact, I think I'm on your mailing list.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's about it for it. Craig, once again, thank you very much. God bless you on your trip, on your voyage.
God bless you too.
It's going to be quite an adventure.
Great to be with you and Gary again.
Amen.
Thank you, Craig. And live from Milwaukee, this concludes our live broadcast for the day. We'll be back in the morning here. Buzz, it's back to you.
Okay, Gary, and for those people who would like to continue what's going on at the convention in their own home or on their computer, they can look at lcms.org/convention. The National Convention has quite a few things up already. If you're looking at live coverage or you're looking at today's business minutes, the resolutions and elections, worship and prayer, all kinds of things available online, lcms.org/convention. And, of course, we'll have some more programming coming from Milwaukee tomorrow. Kip Allen, Gary Duncan, and company are up there live. And we're here at Worldwide KFUO in St. Louis, keeping tabs on things as well. Worldwide KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Worldwide KFUO is online at kfuo.org.